So the Reformation verse, you'll see in your outline, just have 2 points. And what I would like to talk about is the verse that you see in front of you. I didn't get any further than verse 31. There was too much in 31, so I just stayed with that one. And a lot of times in the past I've talked about a freedom theme, but, you know, I want to talk about the Word of God and about a relationship with Jesus. A lot about Luther, too, actually. I don't know if I've done that quite so much, but it's good. So I pray that it would be an encouragement so that what we'd be able to see is we'd be able to see that Jesus cares for us. He really cares about our faith. That's really important to Him. And He is quite aware. He is quite aware of us that we believe. And the question that I wanted to probe a bit is how? How does that happen? How does Jesus care for us who believe in Him? How does that work? And how can we grow in appreciation of His care and His trust? So to get the answers, I looked what Jesus Christ Himself spoke. And there's a word in there where He says, "Truly be My disciples." Let's start there first. And when we look at the word truly in the Greek text means to be certain of, to know for a fact. Now, I know for a fact that it rained yesterday because I got wet. But if I had not been here and I got here after yesterday and you told me that it had rained yesterday, I would just have to take your word for it. And when Jesus is speaking His word, He's talking about everything that He taught, everything that He is, everything that is coming into this world, His work, death on the cross for us, His resurrection from the dead, just the whole big thing. Because you'll notice in the text, it's not plural, it's singular. It's My word, the message. It means the message is that's what He's talking about. And so for us living 2,000 years after Jesus Christ, how in the world can we be 100% sure of the message of Jesus Christ? Because that's what it seems about being a true disciple. That's what it has to do with. I mean, obviously, we, you know, don't have Jesus. He's not here. We have the Holy Spirit. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is actually to help you see how beautiful Jesus is. So that's really one of the main works of the Holy Spirit. I thought about it in the people of gospel text. Let's think about it for a second. Because these people are sitting there listening to Him, right? And so, now let's picture it. There's this crowd, there's tons of people all over the place. And can you picture, you know, Jesus, He's looking. And when He says these words, when He speaks these words to them, and He says, if you abide in My word, and they can see Him, and He's looking at them, and they can see His eyes, and they see, they know in their heart that He's talking to them, that He understands and He knows, and He senses it in His heart, and they sense it in His heart, and they're moved. I mean, there's a personal connection here, something that's just profoundly beautiful and deep, that they can sense that, they know that. And so I think first and foremost for us as being true disciples, it's to really have the keen awareness of how much Jesus cares for us and how He is very much aware of our faith. Now it's Reformation Day, and with thinking about Martin Luther, I think about some of the struggles that he had to face, because for these Jewish people, as he's speaking to them, it was difficult for them because if they came out in the open, they would be not only openly persecuted, but they would be removed from the church, so they couldn't offer sacrifices. They would be considered damned and going to hell. And you think about it with Luther, it was really not a whole lot of difference that he was having to wrestle with the same sorts of situations. And the way that Luther came to know Jesus Christ, very different than the original apostles did, was through a book. Now stop and think about that. The way that he came to know who Christ was just strictly through a book and nothing else. Luther called it the external word. And for Martin Luther in particular, he came to this powerful awareness that God preserves the experience of salvation and Christ-like living from generation to generation by means of a book of revelation, not bishops, not popes, not some sort of spiritual mysticism. You know, you think about nowadays, if you're into education, there is a lot of stuff that's talking about mindfulness. Have you heard about that? It's really big nowadays. Mindfulness. And we want to be mindful. So you want to just... And it's almost, you know, you don't want to think about anything. I'm not, you know, totally up on anything, but it melds kind of with yoga and some other practices and things like that. But we have these ideas on how to achieve truth and peace and all sorts of stuff. They come into us. For Luther, it was very different. It was a book. He called it the external word. And check this out. One of his people that was very much against him, a guy named Sylvester, he said, Martin Luther, who does not accept the doctrine of the Church of Rome and the Pontiff of Rome as the infallible rule of faith, which come from Holy Scriptures to anyone like this, is a heretic. See, we're not medieval people. We don't live back in that period in time. We don't, you know, have to deal with that. See, back in that day, everybody was Roman Catholic. The leader was a Roman Catholic. It was a Roman, Holy Roman Empire. So everybody that was born into the Roman Catholic Church. And you had the Pope. And so this is a completely, completely different world. We're not living in that world. But I do think our intelligence and our intellect and our study has robbed us of what it means to know Jesus Christ. Of what it means to have a dynamic, fiery faith that is willing to trust, is willing to walk, is willing to be guided by Jesus Christ. And I think Satan is still around, as you were talking in the kids' message. He is still alive and he is kicking. And what he's doing is he's bringing things into our culture, if you think about it, that cause us to think that this Word of God is not reliable. It's not true. It has holes. Causes us to think that it's not something that we should really put our 100% faith on because we can't be sure of that. And Satan is very smart. He knows that that is the very same thing that God uses to create faith and sustain faith in us. It's this external word. It's the external word that just hit Luther and it overwhelmed him. It's good because it's apart from us. It's apart from us. It's greater than us. It's something that is really not human in creation. It's something more beautiful and more wonderful. You know, in our study on Thursday, and actually 2 weekends ago at confirmation, we were talking about what Jesus looks like. And so what we did was, there was an article in I think it was Science Magazine, if I remember. I'm going to get that wrong, and unfortunately I didn't write down that fact. But they've done a lot of work on the archaeological remains of people in Palestine. So they've kind of pieced together, based on the archaeological evidence, likely what Jesus looked like. And I think, you know, one of the persons in our group is a person of color. And, you know, she was talking about from the fact that, hey, every time I walk into a white church, you know, Jesus is, and you've seen the pictures, he's white. He looks very Caucasian. He's got, you know, the hair. Sometimes it's even blonde and things like that. So this is the idea. This is the mindset that we get. The point I'm getting to is this. All of the science and intellect and all of the intelligence that we have in our society cannot give us a picture of Jesus Christ. Can't do it. The picture of Jesus Christ that God wants us to see is in the Word of God. Who He was. How He lived. How He loved. How He cared. What He did. Why He did it. All these things. Why God sent Him. All of this is written in the Word of God. And I don't know if you sense in this, there's a little bit of a paradox. And the paradox is this, that so is it just about studying? Is it just about filling our heads with knowledge? Is that what it's about? Because, hey, then why not? I'll just go study and I'll fill my mind with everything that I can learn from the Word of God. I'll memorize it, I'll spit it out like a parrot, and I'll have it, and that's all I need. Is it just about head knowledge? Well, you know, Luther, let me read this quote to you from Luther, because this is awesome. This is incredible. Because Luther himself was a person of great study. So we're talking about somebody, theologically, this guy wrote more volumes than I believe, now I heard this in seminary, than any theologian almost, I think he surpassed Calvin as far as his writing. This guy was just non-stop scholarly works. He was intense. And so this is somebody that, coming at it from a very high academic point of view, he was a professor. And yet at the same time, he knew. Let me read this quote to you from him. In 1518 he wrote, "That the Holy Scriptures cannot be penetrated by study or talent is most certain. Therefore, your first duty is to begin to pray, and to pray to this effect, that if it please God to accomplish something of His glory, not for yours or any other person's, He very graciously grant you a true understanding of His Word." That we would want the Spirit of God to illuminate us and draw us in so that we could see that's the true disciple. The Word of God is working. The Spirit of God is working. And I don't fully understand this, do you? Do you get it right all the time? I don't. That is the fascinating thing of this, is that God has called us as sinners, as incomplete people, and He's given you this call, and He's drawn you in. I think this is just absolutely fascinating. I think it just, to Luther, it's just amazing. And it's part in the text where he says continue. It's the continuing. Very, very common word in Greek. It just simply means remain. It's used a bunch of times in the New Testament, and it just means just to don't leave. Stay. Continue doing it. And what God is going to do is you continue to trust Him. He's going to continue to pour more and more of His grace into you. Remain. That's what He's telling you. It's almost like Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and I think they can see it in His eyes. They can see. Can you see it? That He's saying, there's just so much more I want to show you. You haven't seen it. It's my heart and my passion to carry your burdens, to help you, to make you a light, to cause you to speak. It's just a wonderful thing that He's called us into. Do you hear the call? You see, this is what He's speaking to His disciples. It's really what the world needs to hear. I'm just so totally convinced of this. We need to be this salt and light, and we need to speak, and we need to stand. And we can't do this without the Word of God. And we can't do this without the Spirit of God enlightening us and drawing us into the Word. And that you never give up. Never give up. God is really good. I just want to share one more quote from Luther. And then I'll wrap it up. And then the last thing I want to end with is what he had in his deathbed. But this other quote from Luther, how he just relished the power of God's Spirit, because this is so essential. So, you know, you should, and keep in mind, this is a scholar writing this now. "You should completely despair of your own sense and reason, for by that you will not attain the goal. Rather, kneel down in your private little room, and with sincere humility, earnestness, pray God that His dear Son graciously to grant you His Holy Spirit to enlighten and guide you and give you understanding." That's a gift. That's just a beautiful free gift that He shared with us. And He's opened our eyes to see that the gift exists. Oh, that we would just seek to plumb the depths of it. Luther had a life at the end of his life. What I have here is 3 a.m. It was in the morning, and it was in February. He died. The last words that he recorded, or that were recorded, are in German, of course. And I don't speak German. I'm Irish, Finnish, so I'm not going to try that. But he says this, which is important. "We are beggars. This is true." Then he died. We're beggars. We got nothing but grace. Nothing but the love of Jesus Christ. And to live your life for that, build your life on that, that is life. That is life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the goodness of Your grace. Lord, we ask that You would help us and bless us as we grow in it. We thank You. Thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.